searching for a church home? A church where expository preaching teaches the Word of God. A church where gospel music honors the Lord. A church where the focus is teaching God's Word. Look no further. First Conservative Baptist Church would be honored to have your family join their family. FCBC, located at 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have you join us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Our very special guest today that we have with us, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former representative, Florida representative for District 1 in the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, we're delighted that you've taken time out of a busy schedule to join us today. I think perhaps from my perspective, from an eschatological, theological, biblical perspective, part of the most exciting thing that I see happening, and some say, well, how is it exciting when you see that happening? But I believe one of the things that is most central biblical today in the biblical worldview is that of the fall of Assad in Syria, the major collapse. And it seemed as though, from the natural eye, that it's something that took place overnight. What are your thoughts on Assad's fall? He'd been in leadership and power, he and his family, for about 50 years, and all of a sudden he is no longer in the mansion that he occupied for so many years. Is he alive? Is he dead? Where is he? What brought that about, and how should we view it as conservative Christians?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, Assad was a brutal dictator who we all know used chemical warfare against his own citizens. Predominantly, they were Christians at the time, who he would use chemical gases and drop it on the people or anyone who would challenge his brutal dictatorship that was being propped up by Russia, Iran, and North Korea. That axis of evil countries who seem to be intent on just spreading evil and terrorism around the world, like that's their sole reason for existing. And I read a very interesting article that said that they believe, the author of this article, and I tend to agree, that what caused the downfall of Assad was when Hamas attacked Israel. And the author of that article goes on to say that when that took place, it awakened Israel to move in a very dramatic way. And they destroyed Hamas. They destroyed its leader. They then turned to Hezbollah in northern in Lebanon and Syria, They dismantled Iran's anti-aircraft system. They stopped the Houthis along with United States help and other foreign European leaders from disrupting the flow of sea traffic through the Red Sea. And because of all that, when we had a weakened Russia now who could not respond to stand up to this attack, which came from ISIS, by the way, and it was Obama who funded ISIS in the first place, but here's ISIS now rebelling against Assad. There was nothing that Russia could do to protect, as they did previously. Iran couldn't. They had been weakened by Israel. And so this downfall, according to this author, and again, I tend to agree, was all a domino effect. The cause of Hamas coming out of Gaza and attacking Israel, and we're seeing the results of that, where even Israel has gone into Syria to secure those chemical weapons so that they don't fall into the hands of the wrong people.
Yes, it is exciting, and let me explain my word for our listeners today. The reason I use the term exciting, when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, you find that Russia is going to lead Germany, Iran, Syria, Libya, and Turkey in one fell swoop to come against the little nation of Israel. It's called a war with Russia, Ezekiel 38 and 39. I call it the World War III. And even though all of these things, as you just articulated so well, are real and true that took place, I believe it's God's supernatural intervention that's bringing about the truth of the Word of God exponentially. It's bringing it about rapidly. And I believe all of this is pressured into position, as I started out the broadcast today, the Trump effect or the Trump impact around the world. I believe some of these global players are playing their hand that they would not do, would not want to have done once Trump goes into office. But the bottom line is, when it comes to Syria, Russia has been basically behind the scenes manipulating Syria for many, many, many years. In fact, the seaports there in Syria are housed with some of the most sophisticated Russian weaponry and ships that you'd ever want to find on the face of the globe. And the thing that is, how would you say, interesting to me is all of a sudden, Russia decides we're going to pull back, we're not going to support Syria, and let Syria fall. And now I find it fascinating, I believe it was the New York Times, either the New York Times or New York Post, one of the rag newspapers, ran an article that Assad had died in an airplane crash, that he took off from Damascus and circled back and the plane disappeared. That is simply not so. Assad is now well-heeled financially in Russia, being protected by Putin, and it brings about the eschatological truth of the Word of God, where it is allowing Russia to now be in control, basically, of these five nations, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but these five nations that make up the Five Nation Alliance, it's called Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Congressman Hill, hold your thought a minute. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please. We lost our caller. But ladies and gentlemen, we're tuned in today. We're talking about the Trump effect on a global basis and what is taking place right now in Syria. Most people, Congressman Hill, are not aware of the fact that, as I said a moment ago, Russia has had Syria in its hand for so many years now. I'm looking at a headline. It says, after attracting little notice for years, Mohammed al-Juhani spearheaded a stunning lightning offensive that led to the fall of the regime of the President Bashar Assad of Syria. It's a brand new day in the Middle East, this writer says. He goes on to talk about this new leader now. Is 42 years old. He's an Islamic group linked to Al-Qaeda that has control over that province in the northwestern portion of Syria. He's controlled it for years during a long stalemate in the conflict. Goes on to say, sweeping through Aleppo, Syria's largest city, before charging the south, capturing territory across several provinces without facing much resistance. But Sunday, rebels were celebrating in Syria's capital, Damascus, and declared it free of Assad. The Middle East is undergoing cataclysmic changes right now. And this writer gives Isaiah 17:1, says, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from the from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. And this particular writer is saying that is what is taking place as we see it today. Congressman Hill, as I look at what is happening, the Trump effect, the Trump impact, is causing many of these leaders, like Putin, to make a move. I do not believe that under any other circumstances, Putin would have withdrawn his support for Syria and let Assad just fall. And now here is Turkey, that all of a sudden, you just would not believe this, but I'm looking at the headline, is a new Russian-Turkish alliance forming? Syria President Assad moves to Moscow, and it goes on to talk about that right now, as a result of Syria's fall, that now it brings Russia and Turkey a little more closely aligned, because Turkey's leader, a little less than 90 days ago, had encouraged every Islamic nation to come against Israel and try to destroy Israel. So we're finding a closer relationship with Russia and Turkey and Iran. Iran is furnishing, as you know, all of the drones for the Russian military to go against Ukraine. We're witnessing now where the Ukrainian president is talking with President Trump, and they're behind the scenes trying to bring about settlement of the war in the Middle East and the Ukraine. Give me your summary thoughts, your overview thoughts from a central biblicist standpoint of what we see eschatologically, what it points to based on the Word of God, and should Christians be excited about it? Should we be worried about it? How should we take all of this?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, you know, Damascus has come front and center again, as you mentioned, biblically. You know, that's where the Apostle Paul was headed to try to destroy the church. When the Lord Jesus appeared to him, he had a conversion moment there and became the writer of the majority of books in the New Testament. Now we have this this gentleman who, I use that term lightly, I'm sorry, who part of Al-Qaeda, who has now taken over Damascus. He's gone there. Who knows? And he's persecuting Christians, as I understand it. That they are targeting Christians, that they are killing them, and who knows where God may step in and again have a major conversion take place. And you are so right that Donald Trump has had an effect on all of this. I don't think any of this would have happened if Donald Trump had not been elected. We have even where he makes the statement that the those who are being held hostage in Gaza better be released before he takes office. He said, release them now or else. And I believe they're going to be released or else. Trump is going to give Israel the green light to go ahead and finally take care of business. They were held back, hamstrung by Biden and Kamala Harris, and Trump won't do that. So now we see Russia making this alliance with Turkey. By the way, Russia has been weakened by that war with Ukraine, and they have been shown that they are not a superpower by any means. That they have been weakened by what's going on in Ukraine, both militarily and economically. The Nord Stream pipeline has been damaged. That is costing them billions of dollars in revenue from that gas not flowing to Europe. And so they are forming this alliance with Turkey. What's interesting is Turkey is a member of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which says that if one of the nations is attacked, then the others will come to defend it. Is Turkey now going to be ousted from NATO because of their alliance with Russia? It's all very interesting, and I believe what we're going to see when Trump gets into office is we're going to see some decisive, superior leadership taking place, which we have not seen during the Biden regime in the past 4 years.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at a headline that is kind of comical. At the same time, it is sad. It says, Joe Biden celebrates Russia's losses in Syria. Biden claimed credit for Syria's collapse. Quote, our approach has shifted the balance of power in the Middle East. President, this writer says, President Cabbage Baggage added, we now see new opportunities. And he goes on to talk about the proxy war that has been taking place. But I find it fascinating that this particular writer talks about the fact that it's one, the one now that's taken over in Syria happens to be still on the U.S. terror list as a terrorist organization. And yet Biden is rejoicing, saying that the United States helped to, make this happen. And he is taking credit for the fall of Syria now, as he brags about it. Biden, this article reads, Biden then launched the big announcement. The United States plans to help the Syrian people create an independent state, an independent new government, and a sparkling new democratic constitution that will be just for them, just for their people. And as you said, Syria is known for persecuting, prosecuting, putting to death Christians. And somehow, some way, Biden now wanted to take full-fledged, credit for what has taken place with that. It's the hand of God that's moving. That's what I want our listeners to understand. We're witnessing what I call the Trump effect, the Trump impact, that is taking place on a global basis. But it's the hand of God bringing about the full fruition and the full fulfillment of what God's word said shall take place. And for many, many, many centuries, Christians and pastors have looked at the Ezekiel 38:39. How is it possible that Russia, where Russia is located, is going to be in control of these other five nations? But right now, all of these five nations are eating out of the hand of Russia. They're controlled by Putin. Germany can't move without asking Putin if it'll be all right. The military equipment that Russia is using now is made out of Iran shipped there. Russia is using Iranian oil to help promulgate their economy because, as you said, they do not have it. They're just about bankrupt. And now we're witnessing it coming together. And I'm excited about that because it's the fulfillment of the Word of God. And Luke 21:28, when we see these things taking place, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Congressman Hill, changing gears for just a moment. Recently, there was a report by Biden that he's planning on giving a pardon for Liz Cheney and for Adam Schiff and for others. What are your thoughts about a blanket pardon? In your opinion, is that constitutional? Why do you think he's doing that? These people have not been found guilty of anything. We know they're guilty. They've not been caught, tried, and convicted. How is it possible to give a blanket pardon like that? And why would he be doing it?
Well, even the talk of it is because he knows that should they be prosecuted, that they are going to be found guilty, that there were crimes that were committed. But no, it is not constitutional for him to do these preemptive pardons, to say, if you're charged with anything, I forgive you of it right now. You can't do that. It has to be a specific crime that you are being pardoned and excused from. The same with his son. Going back to 2014, that anything that Hunter has done from 2014 to 2024, I pardon him for. That's nonsense. But why don't you start from the moment he was born? Everything he's done since he was born, I pardon him for. No, it's utter nonsense, and I think we are going to see some justice come from this, not only with Hunter Biden, should Trump administration want to pursue that. I'm not sure they want to expend the energy necessary or the money necessary to do that, but they just might. But Liz Cheney, Adam Kissinger, Adam Schiff, and the rest of them, they all know what they did was wrong. It was treasonous what they did. And so they're running scared. They're asking for this preemptive pardon, which, again, I don't believe is constitutional at all. And going back to what you were saying, Dr. Youngblood, about what we're seeing, this alliance with Turkey and Russia and these other nations in the Middle East, and as the Bible has prophesied, the Bible is true and accurate and correct, that they would come against the nation Israel, the Bible goes on to say that they will be destroyed, mm-hmm. that the nation Israel will be victorious over those, over their enemies. And so it is exciting times we're living through, Dr. Youngblood. What a privilege to be living during these times.
Amen. It really is. Hold your thoughts for a moment, Congressman. I believe we have a caller. Bob, would you go ahead and question and comment, please?
Yes, thank you for my call. I want to point out one thing that most Bible prophecy teachers miss, and I don't want to sound arrogant, but it is impossible for Russia, Turkey, or Iran to attack Israel until Israel is dwelling in peace and safety. That's exactly what Ezekiel says. I'm pretty sure I know how that's going to take place. I was wondering if any of y'all had an idea how Israel is going to be dwelling peacefully and in safety.
Good question, Bob, and I will respond, and then I'll see what Congressman Hill says. Number one, I believe that there is a point in time that somebody's going to step on the scene and negotiate a peace treaty. Now, listen, I was thankful, very delighted, to see President Trump and his previous administration work out the Abraham Accord and try to make peace in the Middle East. I believe there'll be another attempt to extend the Abrahamic Accord in the Middle East. I believe that there will be, either through Trump or others, that there will be some modicum of peace that will be found. But when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, you do find in the, let's see, it's the left page, left column in my Bible, Ezekiel 38, probably going with about verse 15, 16, 17, the nation of Israel be in unwalled villages. That means that they will be protected and in safety. They will feel safe. And I believe that what is taking place now in the Middle East is working toward that ultimate sense of safety and peace. We know then beyond that, when the Antichrist steps on the scene, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, he will negotiate a seven-year peace treaty, and then at the halfway point break that treaty and come in to try to destroy the nation of Israel. But the thing that takes place in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is prior to that last final days that we find that is the cataclysmic event called the Battle of Armageddon. Congressman Hill, what is your response to Bob's question or statement?
No, I agree with you 100%, Dr. Youngblood. Who this person is who's going to lead this period of peace, we don't know. We do know he's the Antichrist and that he will have power. And when I say power, that means the ability to negotiate this peace for the entire, for Israel and for that region. And things will look like, finally, we're at a point where there's peace in the Middle East. And then everything just goes haywire with the great battle, the war, as you're saying, the Battle of Armageddon, which, by the way, Israel will win. And then there will be the great redemption of the nation Israel recognizing their Messiah, recognizing that who did this to you, when they see the scars in his hands, and they will mourn as if for their own son. And then we'll see the great return of our Lord and Savior.
Amen. The you're speaking of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7, 8, and 9 in particular. They'll look at Yeshua, Messiah, whom they have slain, repent, be redeemed, be brought into the millennial reign with the church age saints. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Bob, thank you so much for your call. You're exactly right. We need to recognize the hand of God that we see taking place today. All of these things, we're not hearing anything about Russia, hearing anything taking place in Iraq and Iran and Syria, and all of the parts of the Middle East, I get excited because I see the chessmen being put together, being put in place in perfect alignment on the chessboard to set it up just as God said it would be in the last days. So I'm excited about it, and I'm thankful for it. So thank you so much for your call. Congressman Hill, some other thoughts. Recently, there's been a flurry of major consternation about drones flying over America, and especially recently hovering over New Jersey, New York area, etc. I'm looking at an article that says drones continue to run midnight surveillance operations over the entire state of New Jersey. President-elect Donald Trump was in Paris with Emmanuel Macron for the reporting of the pagan temple, Notre Dame, the Catholic leader, Pope, etc., etc. And it goes on then to talk about what is happening with the drones flying, what is taking place, and what could be the answer to that. What are your thoughts? Shouldn't the Pentagon be involved? Shouldn't the military be involved? Shouldn't the Department of Defense say something? Shouldn't the president say something? Why the silence?
Well, first of all, the reason why this military is silent is because of their incompetence. Mm-hmm. The Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and Anthony Blinken and on down. It is a clown show of what they've done with our military. Now, our military, yes, should be involved. It was established to defend this nation. Who those drones are coming from, I don't know, Dr. Youngblood. I don't have that information. But, of course, it should be investigated to find out where they're coming from, why they are flying, what type of data is being collected, and for what purpose. So, yes, we should be involved, but don't depend on this feckless military administration we have right now doing it. Hopefully, they will be, those drones are going to be captured or at least taken to the point where we can address what they're doing properly when President Trump comes into office.
Absolutely. They say some of them are about the size of a small automobile. It's understood based on the size of them and the speed of them and the direction, etc., that it's not something that's privately owned. It's not something that's a child's toy or a person's recreational material. It's something that's very real. I personally believe that it is potentiality. It is a either Russia or China that still continue, just as they did a year ago with the balloons. They're surveilling all of America to make the preparation for what they're wanting to do. I believe it's the last hit while Biden is still in office. Congressman Hill, all being said and done, we need to go back to the fact that God is still on the throne. He's still watching over it. He is still in control of the world's events, bringing about his word just as he said. So, Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Trusted voices.